Our sermon and gospel lesson continues right now from John chapter 12, continuing at verse 20 through verse 43. Again, we read the first portion at the beginning of the service. If you'd like to follow along on the insert in your bulletin, I invite you to do that. Continue to read in Jesus' name. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Philistines they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. What would you do if a king were coming to your house? If you're like me, you'd start by sinning and wish you had a bigger house. But then you'd probably quickly realize that you can't afford one, and to get all the paperwork done, you'd run out of time. So you'd hustle and bustle and try and get everything as prepared as possible so that your home would be as nice and neat as possible. You want to look good before the king. Well, let me ask you a different question. What would you do if a thief were coming to your house? If you're like me, you'd probably try to identify every point of entry and try to barricade it. You'd gather up all your prized possessions and try and put them in the most secure place of your house and then position yourself so that you could defend them by whatever means necessary. Well, this morning, there are two ways to look at Jesus coming into Jerusalem. One is right, and one is wrong. You can look at Jesus coming into Jerusalem as the people did, as Jesus coming as some glorified earthly king, coming to set up some earthly reign. Or you can look at Jesus coming to Jerusalem the way Jesus does, as the king who's coming to be the king of thieves and steal away all people's sin. You can guess probably which one of these is going to be right. The people in Jerusalem that Palm Sunday looked at Jesus' entry as their coming king. They did everything that they could to spiff up their capital city of Jerusalem. They snipped the palm branches off of the trees and laid those branches and their cloaks before him, trying to give him a royal welcome. They filled the air with their songs of praise, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. They did all of these things because they had heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That would be a good kind of king to have, wouldn't it? If your king can raise the dead, well then, life's going to be good. If your king can overcome the power of death, you've got it made. And that's what the people thought. They thought that Jesus was coming to establish an earthly reign that would overthrow all of their enemies and they'd live forever happy and blessed. They had their minds filled with visions of a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. But that was from the 1920s. Maybe we should update that a little bit. They had visions of tenderloin filling every high-end stainless steel grill and a Beamer in every slot of their four-stall garage. Life was going to be good. But that's not how Jesus views his entry into Jerusalem. Jesus has come to be king, but he's come to be a very strange king. Jesus is coming to his coronation, but he's not going to be anointed with oil. Instead, he's going to be anointed with his own blood. He's going to be crowned not with gold and jewels, but crowned with thorns that dig into his head. He's going to be enthroned not on a throne full of splendor and adamant, but enthroned upon a splintered piece of wood. Jesus is coming to be a strange king who steals the sins of all people and dies on the cross. And Jesus hadn't kept this a secret. Over and over, Jesus said that the reason that he was going up to Jerusalem was to be betrayed, to suffer, and to die. He had plainly explained all of this. He said that he was going to his coronation to be the suffering and condemned king. So even as Philip and Andrew tell Jesus that some Greeks wish to see him, Jesus says now that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come for the grain of wheat to die and fall to the earth. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be lifted up from the earth. And all of this, Jesus knows is coming, and because he knows that it is coming, his soul is troubled. Jesus' soul is so troubled at the type of king that he is coming to be, he asks, "What shall I say? Father, deliver me, save me from this hour, keep me away from this kingship?" No, Jesus says. No, for this purpose I have come. To be this kind of king, I have come. Jesus will not deny his coronation as the king who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the king who bore your sins in his body on the tree. Jesus is the King of Sorrows who came near in order to bear your sorrows and to carry your grief. Jesus came to be pierced for your transgressions and crushed for your iniquities. Jesus, the Son of God, came to humble himself, to die a sinner's death, and to suffer the wrath of God. This strange king came to wrap himself in your sin, and the sinless one came to become sin. God laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. On the cross is Christ's glory. On the cross, your strange King won your freedom from sin and death. On the cross, Jesus pulled off the greatest caper in all of history, stealing all of the sins of the world and putting them on Himself and becoming them, so that you may be declared righteous before God, so that you may have forgiveness and life and salvation. Dear friends, as we begin this Holy Week, let us follow our strange King to His cross and to His death, so that we may be with Him where He is and live eternally with Him in the kingdom that has no end. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. I invite you again to stand.